This is connecting point. It's not the pastor. It's not the pastor's wife. It's not any one individual. It's all of us, you know? We are what makes this church. I think of people that come and go and that visit the church, and every one of them say, man, I have never been to such a loving church before, such a friendly church before. I mean, it's friendly. Everybody likes to come, and as a matter of fact, some go, it's a little overwhelming when everybody comes up to you all at once and says hello, but it's really cool too. So as we look at this, first off, I just want to say thank you. Because without you, this church just does not exist. I think about the marriages that have been saved, the people that have been saved. I think of the relationships that have been saved, people's sanity that has been saved. So many things that we do. And you know, sometimes we really don't know the difference we make until somebody shares with us. And so what I want to encourage you to do is, if somebody has made a difference in your life from this church or because of this church, I just want you to thank them. Not right now, but either through email or going up to them and just looking them in the eye and say, you know what, you make a difference in my life. We need to encourage one another. We need to remind each other that you've made a difference in our lives, you know? Those things strengthen us. You know, it's funny because I was struggling, and listen, Satan attacks, and this is what we're going to see here in Acts today. Satan attacks us at every turn, in every way. And there are some times, especially after we got through with the remodel project, and I was just burnt out. I'll be honest with you. I was tired, exhausted, burnt out, and I thought, God, are you, and we weren't seeing anything. And matter of fact, our offerings went down, everything, all of a sudden everything went down, and just the church is struggling. And I said, God, are you done with me or in ministry? I mean, that sounds crazy, doesn't it? Somebody shake their head yes, I don't feel abnormal. Okay. But I was like, Lord, are you finished with me? I mean, am I done in ministry? Do I just need to go get another job somewhere and do something else? Lord, what's going on? Lord, if you want me to stay here, you've got to show me that this is where I belong. Now, some of you sitting in a chair, you go, well, that's crazy, Pastor. You belong here. Somebody say amen. Amen. Thank you. And I'll call for it. And so I even talked to some pastor friends of mine, and I said, guys, listen, I'm struggling here. And I went to my wife, and I said, you need to pray about what God would have us to do, because I'm not sure that this is where God wants us anymore. I mean, you know, we move into the building, and I know Satan attacks, but man, ever since we got into the building, things have been going downhill. And I don't understand it. We should be going uphill. Things should be going good. And meanwhile, Satan is just attacking and attacking and attacking. And I said, God, if this is where you want me, you've got to remind me. You've got to make this clear. And then all of a sudden, within a week's time, I lead 5 people to the Lord. We have baptism. We have family members that are coming up to me and going, Pastor, because of this church, because of this church, because of this church, because of this church. And I went, okay, God, thank you. Sometimes we need to be reminded, don't we, of the difference we make. I want you to do that. I want you to take the time in the very near future, not now, to go to somebody. And listen, it doesn't have to be lengthy. It doesn't like you got to have to sit down and have this 10-minute conversation. But just go up and say, you know, thank you for your faithfulness. Because of you, I have been faithful. Because of you, I came to church. Because of you, I did this. Because of your testimony. Because of this. Listen, remind people the difference they make in your life. We need encouragement. Okay, I need encouragement. Does anybody else need it sometimes? Amen. Yeah, so remind somebody. Just go up and say, thank you. Thank you for making the difference. Thank you for taking the time. Thank you for being faithful. Thank you for that. We need it. Let me look here, if you will, go to Acts chapter 5. Acts chapter 5. In Acts chapter 5, verse 12. Yeah, if you need a Bible, raise your hand. We'll make sure you get one. Acts chapter 5, verse 12. We're going to read 12 through 16. Acts 5, 12 through 13. Anybody else need a Bible? Raise your hand. We got one up front here. Anybody else over here? All right. Okay. Acts chapter 5, verse 12. And though and through the hands of the apostles many signs and wonders were done among the people, and they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch, yet none of the rest dared join them, but the people esteemed them highly. And believers were increasingly added to the Lord, multitudes of men, both men and women, so that they brought the sick out of the streets and laid them on beds and couches, that at least the shadow of Peter's passing might fall on some of them. Also, a multitude gathered from the surrounding cities to Jerusalem, bringing sick people and those who were tormented by unclean spirits, and they were all healed. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, as we look at your word, Lord, just give us that nugget, Lord, that one piece, Lord, that just absolutely speaks to us so loud, Lord, that we cannot escape it. And Lord, that we would love you and serve you more because of it. Lord, I thank you and love you. In Jesus' name, amen. So what I want you to see here is the first thing, you know, Satan attacks the church. Vinny, would you come up here for a minute, please? Vinny's a pretty big boy there, isn't he? I mean, broad shoulders, stocky, you know. You go, yeah, man, Vinny, like, he's a hoss, right? When you go and you're like, man, look, this dude's beefy, you know? And so... We were talking this morning, and we were talking about how Satan attacks, and you know, he's going to attack the body. He's going to attack the body. And he said, man, since I have been focused on God, everything else seems to be easier or be falling in place. And I said, Vinny, let me show you something. And I asked him if he would come up so that I can demonstrate to you guys what I showed him. You know, what's happening here is they were unified. They were in, look here in 12. It says, the bottom of verse 12, and they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. They were all unified. They were all together. They were all focused. They were all concentrated on God. They had their eyes on Jesus Christ, on their purpose, on the goal, on what was at hand. And I think what happens, guys, is that we lose that focus and the world starts drifting us away. And I said, Vinny, come over here and I want to show you something. So I said, Vinny, hold your arms out. Well, he said, be careful of my rotator cuff. I said, which side? He said, left. All right. I want you to see the whole conversation. Right. He said, right. I moved left. And I said, Vinny, here's what happens when we are off center, when we're not unified as a body. Satan will come out here and he'll grab hold of us. And here's what happens. I can pull Vinny around, can't I? I can pull him off center. I mean, Vinny, I want you to dig in so I can't pull you. Yeah, wide base. That's what I'm talking about. And so Satan comes up, and all of a sudden he's going to fight me, right? But no, I've still got him. Why? Because, man, no matter how hard you try, when you're off kilter, you're going to get pulled over. You're going to get drugged down by the world. Satan is going to grab hold of you, and here's what's going to happen. Come with me, Vinny. Look at this. And he's going to drag us everywhere. I said, here's what happens, guys. When we are focused on God, I mean, when God becomes our center point, when we are grounded in the Word, when we are not, when we're unified and we're not allowing Satan in the door. Because we've allowed Satan in the door. How many have allowed Satan in your door? Yeah, you know what? When I was questioning and wondering and saying, God, do you even want me in ministry? I'll be honest with you. Not out of pride or arrogance. That was the most foolish question any person could ask God. Do you really want me in ministry? Why? He says, listen, the harvest is plentiful and the laborers are few. I don't want nobody leaving. I need everybody I can get. And I asked one of the dumbest questions you could ever ask. God, are you done with me? God says, no, I'm not done with you. I need you. Not because you're anybody great, but because you're a body that loves me and a mind that loves me and a heart that loves me. And I love you and I want to use you. And that's what he says to each one of us. So when we're grounded and we're centered on Christ, and so here we got this big hoss of a man, and you see I've been pulling him around when he's off balance, and I can grab him and pull him around. But when we're centered, here's what happens. Are you ready? Here's what happens. What happens? I can't take him down. Why? Because you know what? He's centered, and he says God is on God. He's not hanging out here where he's all off balance. He's not hanging out here where he goes, well, you know, where should I be with God? And I think, no, he's going, man, God is my center. He is my focal point. And man, when we stand in Christ, we stand strong. I'm 200 and plus pounds. And I'm jumping on my man's back. He's not moving him. Come over here, Vinny. Hold your arms out again. I'm not even going to break a sweat. How much do you weigh? 200 plus pounds, right? So, he's 250 pounds. I don't even weigh as much as he does. Praise Jesus. And look, I can grab him and pull him around. But man, when you're centered in Christ and everything jumps on your back, God's like, don't worry, I'm your pillar. And you'll stand. Thank you, brother. Thank you. That's what being unified in Christ is about. That's what living in God is about. That is what, when we take the time, when we focus on Jesus Christ and we make him our center point, that's what it's all about. For example, when our life is focused on something else, we go off kilter. Satan gets in. And he's going to pull us down. And he's going to pull us around. And he's going to make us into a rag doll. And then what happens is we lose our center point, our focal point. And we have a tendency to think that that's normal. That Satan, well, I'm human, and Satan doesn't like me, and so it's normal to be drug around. And God says, no, it's not normal. I'll strengthen you. But man, you gotta focus on me. On Wednesday nights, we are going through creation, and it's really has proven to be an incredibly interesting study that we're going through. And if you really want to be challenged, you need to be here this Wednesday. It's going to be unique, to say the least. But Ken Ham, who's doing the study, we're doing a video study, he says this, that when you your starting point, that's what makes the difference. So if your starting point is man's theology, man's thinking, man's direction, man's way, immediately you're starting on the wrong foot. You're out of balance, and things are going to be tough. They're going to be hard. But he says if your starting point is God and the Word of God, then immediately you're already balanced. You have the edge. You can plant your feet, because everything that comes down, you're going to handle it. Why? Because God's your pillar. He's going to strengthen you. If you start on man's foot, you're going to get drug around because you're off balance. Starting with God, you're centered. And what we see here, the first thing that we see here is that Satan attacks the church. And when we get to 517, which won't be today, but when we get to 517, you're going to see how Satan attacks. But you need to be here for this, because I'm also going to show you the apostles' response, and it's very encouraging. So the first thing we see here in Acts 5:12 is that they were unified. Being unified is what's going to help you triumph over Satan's attacks. Anybody ever watch National Geographic? Yeah, or the History Channel, or anything about the jungle? Everybody raise their hand. Thank you. Okay. So what do you have? You have a lion out there who is looking for something to eat, right? You've all seen this. And you see some elk roaming by, or antelope, and the deer play and all that. But you see them going, they're going in a herd, right? They're together, they're unified. Who does the lion attack? Does he attack the herd? He attacks the one that's out of the pack. He attacks the one that's weak. He attacks the one that has allowed himself to fall behind for whatever reason. And he's on that. And the herd and the pack, they protect each other. And they're together. And the lion doesn't go after that. I'm going to tell you guys that when you try to stand on your own, you are like the one who stayed behind. You're the one that's off balance, that's going to get drug around. You need us, and we need you. That's why in Hebrews, in 10:25, he says, forsake not. Do not forsake the assembling of yourselves together. But we are to encourage and love one another and build one another up. Why? Because we strengthen one another. Do you realize, as we're studying here in the book of Acts, we're studying the church, you know, the church isn't for the lost. Somebody go, how many think I'm crazy now? The church isn't for the lost. Do you know what the church is for? The saved. Do you know why we assemble together as a body of believers? To strengthen and encourage one another. To build one another up. To edify one another. To encourage, to build this body that is strong. And then what do we do as a church? Then we go out. and we compel them to come in. You know, when I first started the church, and not the Church of Jesus Christ, obviously, but East Greenbush when we were there and Connecting Point now. When I first started it, I thought, salvation, 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 preach salvation, preach the day, and got to save the lost, got to save the lost, got to save the lost. But where the church has failed is they forgot, and I'm guilty of this because for the first couple of years I was all about preaching salvation, preaching salvation, preaching salvation. But who's going to build the body of believers? Who's going to strengthen them and encourage them? That's what the church is for. And so I started rethinking and reprocessing, God, what am I supposed to do? And then I remember what he told Peter to do. Peter, when you return, feed my sheep. Peter, when you return, feed my sheep. Peter, when you return, remember, because Peter was straggling, he went out on his own, didn't he? He got off balance and Satan attacked and he went down. And he says, when you return, that means when you get centered on me again, I want you to feed my sheep. And God told me, he said, John, you feed my sheep. You build them. You strengthen them. You teach them. You encourage them. You get them prepared to go out and do battle, because that's really what the church is about. So many churches today, they've become seeker sensitive. They have become accepting to everything that moves. Oh, we got to love them to get them in the door. You know what? No. Oh, wait a minute. We do got to love them. Don't get me wrong. But you know what we got to do? It's kind of like when I became a mechanic, or as they say in the Philippines, a mechanic. When I became a mechanic, you know what I had to learn before I could become a mechanic? I had to learn how to fix cars. Made sense, didn't it? You know, we got some computer guys here. You know what they had to do before they could work on a computer? They had to learn computers, didn't they? I got a guy here who does fishing stuff. Do you know what he had to do? He had to learn how to fish. What a job. And so, I'm just busting jobs. Right? I'm like, yeah, I'm getting paid for this. Every time he tells me, I'm going out of town on a business trip. What are you doing? I'm going fishing in Cleveland. Oh, what's hard about that? Sleeping in the hotel? I'm kidding. But would you? Sorry, brother. I had to just take you there, you know? That's right. That's right. Kathy goes, give me the tithe check. We're going to send it somewhere else. But you know what happens? We got to learn our job. We got to learn our profession, even if it is fishing. And we got to learn to do it well so we can post pictures on Facebook of how big of a car. You're just my target today, brother. But we got to learn to do it well. And you know what? If we're going to win souls, if we're going to live the life of Christ, we got to learn what Christ expects. We got to learn the Word of God. We got to become professional Christians. You hear what I'm saying? You got to make God your focal point, your center point, everything about you. Because when you do that, then everything that comes from you, you seek Christ first. You don't start over here with man's ideas and go, well, maybe I should do this, and okay, God, I'll add you in. Come on over here. And no. We're over here going, whoa, okay, God, what should I do? Okay, God, how should I do this? Okay, God, give me wisdom. Okay, God, give me direction. Okay. And all of a sudden, everything is different. And so what we got to do is we got to become unified, and the church empowers each other. Because without each other, we're going to sink like a rock. Without each other, we're going to go down. You cannot stay strong in the world. You can't do it. You cannot do it. I'm going to use Vinny again, only because he gives me permission. No, you can stay right there. You glory hound. No, I'm kidding. He goes, can I come up there? Oh, no. He said, but I'm talking to Vinny, and I said, Vinny, how long have you been in the program? Because Vinny is down at the mission, and he has some drug problems. And I said, Vinny, how long have you been down at the mission? He goes, well, this time. And I go, what do you mean this time? What happened the first time? And he said, well, you know, I was in the program, everything was going good, and then they told me, they said, listen, you need to go to the next stage and or the next phase of your recovery. And he goes, man, I got this. I'm good. And so he ignored their advice, and he went out to go into the next phase of his of what he thought was his ministry. By the way, it was going to Bible college. What's wrong with Bible college, right? I mean, Bible college is where you're going to go to learn about God. But if it's not God's timing and you're not prepared, guess what? Bible college is just as heavy as no college. Bible college is just as heavy as the drug world. Why? Because you're out of God's will. So here's what happened. He goes to Bible college, but before he really gets there, he's all proud of himself. And all of a sudden, he forgot how to listen to others that were trying to teach and encourage him. And you know what he did? He jumped out here. And guess what Satan did? He grabbed him by the wrist and just flipped him around like he was one of Tim's fish. And he went down. And he went back to using it, and his whole life started falling apart again. So now he's back in the program. But you know what he's doing different this time? Staying God-centered. He's staying focused. You know what else he's doing? He found a body of believers. You know what else he's doing? He's learning. He's growing. He goes, Pastor, I'm a sponge. Feed me. They're like, my kind of man. Why? Because that's what we should be doing. We should be discipling one another. We should be teaching one another. Listen, women teach women. Men teach men. Older teach younger. Come on. What are we going to do? We got to equip the people. Who are you discipling? Who are you investing in? You know what? We're supposed to be unified. They were all in one accord. That doesn't mean the Honda car. That means they were all together in agreeance. Who are you investing in for the glory of God? Who are you? Because listen, the church is to prepare the saint. I don't listen on Sunday mornings. This is going to sound so harsh. But please understand my heart. On Sunday mornings, I don't care about being seeker sensitive. I don't care. My goal is not to please you or anybody that's coming in here to go, oh, I just need a good message to feel good. No, you need the Word of God to penetrate your heart. Not that I need to beat you up with it, but that I need to teach it. And if it hurts your feelings, take it up with God. And these churches that are going in and saying, oh, we can't talk about adultery. We can't talk about drunkenness. We can't talk about fornicators. We can't talk about homosexuality. We can't. Why? What? I had somebody visit our church one time. Actually, twice. They came back. But at the end of the service, he came up to me and he said, my pastor would never speak on that topic. And I go, why? He doesn't want to hurt anybody's feelings. He wants people to get saved. You think I don't? I want people to get saved too, but on Sunday morning, I have a job to do. And my job is to equip the saints and prepare them to go out and do the work of the ministry. Isn't that what we've seen the apostles doing? They equipped the saints and they went out and did the work of the ministry. Listen, my job is to grow you. Your job is to reach the lost. That's what you find in the book of Acts, all through the book of Acts. And so if you're not doing your job, where's the problem? If society is going under, where's the problem? The problem is you're not doing your job. But then the question is, am I doing my job? You see, we're all accountable to each other. And we all need each other. And we all have to work together. And when we do that, we become unified. We are one accord. Then the next thing that we see is that the church is magnified. Look here in 5:13. Yet none of the rest dared to join them, but the people esteemed them highly. I was talking to Cindy the other day, and she was reading all of her notes that she had gotten from John's memorial service. And she said that she, one of the men who is financially well off, education out the roof, you know, one of these educated crazy people. And she didn't say that. But you know what I'm saying? I mean, these people that are so educated, they're above everything. You get what I'm saying? And this person said this: I am so jealous of your faith. I am so jealous of your faith. And this man's a Jewish man who should have the faith. God's chosen people. And yet looks at her and says, I am so jealous of your faith. Listen, they were esteemed highly. People watch us. They're waiting on us. And you know what they're waiting on? They're waiting on us to stand strong, not blow our testimonies. They're waiting on us to live out what we've talked about. They're waiting. And then when we drop the ball, because I'm going to tell you, there's some people right now who have dropped the ball. Dropped the ball. I was being shared with how a pastor is having a relation with one of the people in the congregation. Trying to hide it, of course. How another one says, oh, for the sake of ministry, I want a divorce, to another one. This is all going on right now, guys. Right now. And I'm telling you, you know what? When we live the Word of God, when we are examples of Christ, man, it's magnified. Not that we are magnified, but that Christ is magnified through us. People are looking for a hope. They're looking for a reason. They're looking. And who else do they have to look at? But the Christian. And then when you have Christians who go, well, I think that, you know what, all people deserve to be loved and to love, and so homosexuality is okay. And you say, Pastor, why do you keep bringing it up? Because that is the core problem destroying our society right now. And the problem is that even Christians are now accepting it. The problem is that people who used to stand and say that is wrong and is ungodly behavior are now going, well, my son and daughter is this, so, and I love them and I'm not going to go against them or hurt their feelings, and so therefore it's okay. Are you serious? Did you happen to read in Romans chapter 1, verse 31, where he says, or 30, 31, where God says, listen, those that do that behavior is guilty, and those who approve of that behavior is just as guilty as those who do it. Wow. That, if we grab hold of that, that would get our attention, wouldn't it? And it's not just that behavior, guys. It's just sinful living, sinful lifestyles, living together out of marriage or out of wedlock. Sinful, but yet all of society supports it. And we wonder why the church isn't magnified. We wonder why Christ isn't magnified. We wonder why God isn't magnified, because the Christian is not a magnifier. Then the next thing, look here in 5:14. When the church is unified and the body and Christ are magnified, there's only one result. 5:14, look at this. And believers were what? Increasingly added. That means an ongoing activity. That increasingly added means a continuous thing. It wasn't that they were just added and it was done. It was they were increasingly added. It was a continuous, ongoing thing. Guys, listen, when we come together as a church, as a family of God, as Christians, not just Connecting Point, but as Christians or as a whole, and we magnify Christ, then we multiply. It's just natural that it's going to happen. And when we're magnified, or when we're unified in Christ, magnified, and we multiply, then we win the society. We win our community. Wow, how wonderful would it be for Albany to not be the most ungodly city in the country? Barna polled it. More people in Albany, capital region, the whole capital region, said that they see no relevance to the Word of God. That's insane. It's just crazy. Guys, listen, when we look at the book of Acts and we look at the church, we have a job to do. When we look at what we've done in the past, and by the way, all those things that we've done, they build people and they build relationships. And when the relationships are built, the community is built. It's really hard to love somebody you don't know, isn't it? But boy, when you get to know them, it makes a big difference, doesn't it? I was talking yesterday with Cindy, and we were talking about John. And she was sharing with me how this Jewish guy said, "Man, I'm so jealous of your faith." And she said, the Jewish guy said, "But I didn't realize John was so passionate." And here's what happened. The last 3 years of John's life is when he became very passionate. And then he started learning and growing and really getting involved, man, just devouring the Word of God. I mean, he borrowed my commentaries and he took them home and he'd come back and he wouldn't even set me up. He would just, for the discussion, like I didn't have time to switch my gears. You ever been there where somebody just throws something on you and you're going, "No, I got to bring this one in." And that's what you do all the time. I was reading in Luke and it says this and that. And I go, "Whoa, John, bring me in. Let me be a part of this before you throw all this information on me." And that's what he would do, though. He was so hungry. And the reason the guy didn't see it is because John was sick the last year of his life. But the passion that he had. The passion. Man, if we would have that kind of passion instead of being so self-absorbed in our own life and what we want, if we were God-centered. Listen, if you're being drug around by Satan and your world is a mess and your life is a mess, you know why? It's because you're out here. You're out here and you're just getting hung on to and drug around. And you need to be right here and go, "Okay, God, it's you and me, mostly you. Let's go." Right? Isn't that what we need to do? But when people go, I see these bumper stickers say, "God is my co-pilot." Mm-mm. "God, I want you to be the pilot. I'll jump over here and I'll never touch the brake or the steering wheel. I'll just set back and let you go." That's what we need to do. But for some reason, we think, "God can't pay my bills. God can't fix me. God can't take care of this. God doesn't understand." What does God know? God's God. He has no problems. Yes, he does. It's you. And it's me. We are his problem. Man, think about that one for a second when we say God has no problems. Oh, my goodness. But he says, "You know what? You were fearfully and wonderfully made." And God says, "You were made in my image." And God says in Isaiah, "If you allow me, I'll be as a mother to you." Do you know what that means when he says, "I'll be as a mother to you"? He's already the father, but he says, "I'll be as a mother to you." Because there's nobody that loves like mom, right? I mean, let's look at all the sports world. When they make it big, what do? They go, "Thanks, Dad, you're awesome. Yeah." In the camera, no. They go, what? "Love you, Mom." Or they pull their shirt, "Love you, Mom." Right? Because moms, man, nobody, who loves like a mother? And God says in Isaiah, "I will be as a mother to you. Give me your problems. Call on me. Call on me." And until we do that, man, we're going to struggle, guys. We're going to struggle as an individual, and we're going to struggle as a body. Do you know why? Take your finger and put it on the floor, and then take your foot and stomp on it. Okay, says most people can't do it. I've seen a sign that says, if God wanted me to touch my toes, he'd put them on my knees. So here's what you do. Put your finger down and let somebody else stomp on it. And see if that finger does not, when somebody stomps on it, affect the whole body. It will, won't it? Man, I'm going to tell you what, we were at my brother's house on vacation. We stopped in and visited him, and we went outside and we were playing softball. And he had this, which I'm so shocked because my brother normally invests in better things. But he had this aluminum bat, and it was a small, lightweight bat. So I get up there, you know, I haven't done this in a long time. I'm pretty jacked. I get the bat. How many get excited when they go to bat? Even though you stink, you're excited, right? And so I get up there and I'm going to bat and I'm ready. Give me your best pitch. And my brother's pitching. And so he whips one in there and I cracked it. Man, I mean, I cracked it good. The problem is this bat stinks. And it vibrated through the whole handle. Anybody ever done that? And my hand felt like I used it to hit the ball. And I remember when I hit it, it was like, pow, and you could hear the bat vibrate, literally. The ball went, but man, and I dropped the bat, and I'm going, oh, man, oh. What happened? My hand got the pain, but my whole body felt it. When you live in sin, you're like the finger or the hand. The whole body feels it. When you're hurting, the whole body feels it. When you're a disgrace, the whole body feels it. We're our brother's keeper. We need each other. When people go, well, it's not hurting anybody else, it's my life. Uh-uh. Wrong, wrong, wrong. That's why the Word of God is profitable to what? To rebuke and exhort, to teach, right? We are centered on the Word of God, so when one of us gets off center, we can reach out and rebuke you and bring you back. And when you go, it's my life, you go, no, you're the finger. To remind them, you're the finger. That's how important we are. Each one of us. Each one of us. So the next time somebody messes up, go, you're the finger. That's how important we are. That's how important you are. So when you think you're nobody, think again. You're fearfully, wonderfully made, and you're the finger. When you hurt, the whole body hurts. We need to be unified. Then we need to magnify Christ, and we'll multiply. It's inevitable. People want to come to something that's living, don't they? They don't want to come to something that's dead and dying. We need to get together. We need to be unified, and we need to glorify, and then we'll multiply. Without living right, we bring gangrene into the body. Whether it's the family of God, whether it's your personal family at home, whether it's your work environment, it's all the same. But especially the Word of God, the house of God, the church of God, because I was reading an article and who's the lady that messed up and she used the N-word 30 years ago and it just cost her whole career? Okay. And there was and then you have Alec Baldwin who just tweeted all this junk, right? And they're wanting his job, they're wanting him to be fired, they're wanting Capital One to fire him and do all this stuff. And the guy that wrote the article that I read said, it's not going to happen. It's different than Paula Deen, right? Paula Deen? It's different than her because he's a liberal, so he'll never feel the effects of a conservative. Guys, they're looking to take us down. It's not equal out there. That's why we got to stand even stronger. That's why we need to be unified. That's why we need each other. So if you see somebody that's out and haven't been to church in a while, call them. Tell them, you're the finger. And they'll go, what? Not the finger, but you're the finger. And let me tell you, I miss you. We need you. Do your job. Reach out. Teach. Disciple. Edify. Strengthen. Encourage. We have the Barnabas over here that Kelly started. And I see that there's an envelope in it. We need more of that. We need to remind each other how much we appreciate each other. Remind each other that I'm praying for you. I love you. You're missed. How can I help you? And then when somebody comes to you and asks, how can I help you? Don't become a spiritual leech and suck them dry. Don't be an emotional leech and just lean on them until they break too. Help them help you. You get what I'm saying? And man, we'll strengthen the whole core. But we can't do it alone. Cannot do it alone. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you and I love you. And Lord, I thank you for the opportunity to just share your word, Lord, to seek your face, Lord, to encourage. And Lord, hopefully each and every one of us in here, Lord, got it. That we need to be centered on you. Lord, then we can take the pressure of the world. Lord, then we get the peace that passes all understanding. Lord, then you guide us and you direct us and you give us wisdom. And Lord, you uphold us with your righteous right hand. And so, Lord, I'm praying right now, Lord, that anybody here, Lord, who is out of balance, off center, Lord, they feel like they're getting drug around. Lord, I pray your hand upon them, your strength and your peace. And Lord, help them to get centered and focused on you. Lord, don't let them carry any baggage that's not theirs. But Lord, help them to deal with whatever it is that keeps them from holding on to you. Lord, whatever it is, bring them back center so that we as a family can love each other, strengthen each other, and encourage each other. Lord, I thank you and I love you. In Jesus' name, amen.